But when it comes to the Lord, the scriptures, if you read the Psalms, they say, who can speak of his greatness? Who can give him the praise that is due him? Praise the Lord. And why? It says, praise God for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, April 27th, 2025. Psalm 150.
Just over a week ago, a fairly popular magazine decided that they were going to put out another one of their series of their articles of the top 100 influential people, something they've done for a few years now. So they pick and decide who's going to be the most influential, and they invite them, as they did about a week ago. Actually, it was, I believe, when we celebrated Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday. They had a special event where they welcomed these 100 people to mingle and to talk and to be interviewed. One of the persons who went to that, who's a broadcaster, talked about their experience, and they basically said, I don't think any of us really deserve to be there. The whole thing is just kind of a joke. And you even see some popular sitcoms making fun of events like this. One of those sitcoms had a rich man who operates a nuclear power plant put on his own escapade where he honored people. And it was something where he said he was going to give an award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. In which response, one of the characters said, the whole thing is a farce. I've never seen such a farce. And the other one says, well, what about the Emmys? And they say, well, yeah, I stand corrected. That also is. Who is the most influential? Who gets to decide who the most influential is? And who should we be lauding and praising for what they've achieved? Should it be the people that have done a scene in a movie? Should it be the politicians who happen to get the most votes? Should it be the person who's spoken up on behalf of some issue or cause? Who's the person that we ought to boast about and put on a pedestal? Well, as a Christian, I think that's pretty easy for us to answer, because he's the same one, as we read earlier, who died and who is alive again and who is still alive today. It is our Lord Jesus, our God. Today we're going to look what the Word of God says regarding praise and how we are to praise him in our life and make his goodness known to others around us. Because Jesus lives, let his praise abound. We see that as we look at the final of all the Psalms, Psalm 150. Now the Psalms have a lot of laments and times when they call out to God, or some of the Psalms have prayers, and some of the Psalms have someone in sorrow. But many of them are also praise. And as you read through the Psalms, they crescendo and grow until finally, when you get near the end of the book of Psalms, it grows in praise and praise and the invitation to praise God. And the word praise, or praise the Lord, hallelujah, comes up the most in one of the shorter Psalms. It's actually the final Psalm. Psalm 150 has hallelujah, praise the Lord, more times, twice as much as any other Psalm. So this is a fitting Psalm for us to turn to when we want to ask, what does it mean to praise the Lord? The Psalm begins, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Well, let me just step back for a moment here and let's ask, what does it even mean to praise God? We know what it means to worship him, to fall before him, to dedicate our hearts and lives to him. To worship God means to exalt him, to put him first, but praise is an aspect of worship, one accompanied with joy, with thanksgiving. To praise God is to really boast about him and how great he is. Praise can apply, yes, to many other things than besides God. In fact, when you look at the 100 most influential people, that magazine was essentially praising them for their influence in our society and in culture. Sometimes, whether for good or for bad, they boasted and said, this person has done the most and is the greatest in this area. How does our society view praise when it comes to that definition, to boast about someone or something? Praise the Lord? I think maybe if you look around, the praise is more often in other areas. Praise the influential. Praise the politician. Praise the sports figure. Praise the celebrity. Praise the actor who is in a prominent film. That's the people that made the list of 100. And I'm not saying that they're all not worthy of some praise. But our world is surrounded by praise that is not directed towards the one who is enthroned in heaven, the one who has done all things. In fact, our own hearts desire praise, don't they? When it comes to dishing out boasting, we want to hear others boast about us, don't we? We want to do things in our life so that others will speak well of us and make us feel good about ourselves. And we want to praise figures and people. But when it comes to the Lord, the scriptures, if you read the Psalms, they say, who can speak of his greatness? Who can give him the praise that is due him? Praise the Lord. And why? It says, praise God for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. After having called for praise for God, both in his temple, his sanctuary, the place of his holy dwelling, where God puts his name, he also, the psalm writer says, praise God in the mighty heavens. All are to praise him in every place. Why? Because of his greatness and his deeds. This is actually a description that's rather general. When you read through the Psalms, David says, I praise you, Lord, because you answered my prayer. Or the Psalms say, Lord, we'll praise you because you delivered us from our troubles. But here, this invitation, as the Psalms come to a conclusion, is rather general. Praise him for his mighty acts of power, for his abounding greatness. What is that? I think the psalmist calls everyone everywhere to call on God to praise him for every reason, because he's just so great. What reasons do we have to praise our God? Let's go back to the very start. Praise him for his acts of power. The God who spoke and gave you breath and said, let them become a living being. And he breathed the breath of life into man. And he formed woman out of the man. The God who said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky, and there were. The God who said, let there be day and night. The God who made all things and gave us life. And who said, let them continue and produce and multiply. The God who sustains all things by his power. Aren't these mighty acts enough? Even if God did nothing else but give us life, shouldn't we use the very breath that he gave to praise him? Oh, but his acts of power are found throughout the pages of history and recorded in his word. We can praise him because he crushed the enemy when the Egyptians were drowned in the sea, and he brought his people out just as promised. We can praise him because he brought his people back from captivity when they were suffering and in exile. But his acts of power are not just seen in the miracles that he's done, where he defeats an enemy or brings a victory. His acts of power are not simply seen even when he provides through his prophets the healing from disease and leprosy, but his acts of power are seen as the Lord himself comes and lowers himself. And the disciples, when they saw just what Jesus was capable of, how he could calm the storm and walk on water, it says they fell down and worshiped him. And people praised the Son of God as he, yes, drove out demons and showed his power over hell. And they praised the Son of God as they heard how he had raised his friend Lazarus to life. And so they praised him, shouting Hosanna, throwing the palms down, and proclaimed him the one who has done mighty deeds. But then the psalmist says, not just his acts of power, Praise him for his surpassing greatness. The Hebrew here basically says for the abounding greatness of him. What is that? Well, God abounds in everything that is good, to the degree that we as theologians describe him as absolute. God is abundant in justice. Praise him because God does not tolerate evil. Praise him because in his holiness, God decides that every evil act will be dealt with. Praise him because he doesn't tolerate when wickedness turns against him or against his creation. For that, we ought to praise him. But if that's one reason why he's praised, doesn't the sinner have to step back and say, Lord, I praise you because you judge me, a sinner? Well, the same God who is abounding in greatness and justice also abounds in compassion and mercy and forgiveness and love. Praise him because he looks upon those who deserve his justice and he says, I will have mercy on you. And after Jesus was praised by that crowd and he rode into the city, his plan was to carry out justice and mercy. His plan was to take that life, that holy, sinless life, and to lay it down as a sacrifice, to take the justice of our sin on himself, and to display the mercy of God in himself. When we say, praise God for his acts of power, what we actually mean is praise him especially for when he lowered himself and set aside his power and became sin for us. Praise him for his surpassing greatness and justice seen on the cross as he took our sins on himself and justice was met. And praise him on the cross as his mercy was displayed and seen as he took the place of sinners to forgive us. And it doesn't stop there. His greatest act was not simply taking away sin and defeating the accusations and condemnation of the devil. Praise him who lives. He conquered death. Praise him for his mighty acts of coming out of the grave. And the Son of God, Jesus, crowned in glory and honor, lives. Praise him. So how do we praise him? The psalm goes on. Him who has surpassing greatness and has shown his acts of power. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, the harp, the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. You count that out, that's 9 different means of praise. And then it concludes, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Starting to get the point here is the word echoes. Praise him, praise him. 10 different means, a complete number of praising God. And it doesn't matter because the cultures, the people throughout history and time, all nations are included for his praise. The method of praise, the mode of praise is found throughout the world. The church is beautiful as praise sounds in every part of the world, in every language, which every type of instrument produces. There is no instrument which is unfit, no mouth which is unfit, because all call out in praise. In fact, Jesus said, if my people don't praise me, even the stones will cry out, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I think it's safe to say that includes you. Maybe in your life you might, for a time, join the world in praising the celebrities, the sport figures, praising other things. But when you come into God's sanctuary, and when you go to the highest heights or the deepest depths, you're invited, called on by God, to praise his name. And to praise the Lord doesn't have to be that you know how to play the trumpet, or to clash the cymbals, or shake the tambourine, or even how to dance. The mode does not matter. The invitation is there for you. He's given you breath. Praise him with your breath. Let the world around you see that you boast about the goodness, the abounding, all-surpassing goodness of your God, which is seen especially in the love of his Son. The God who gave you life, bought your life back from death and the grave. And because he lives, you can now praise him. This is the picture that we see as Scripture comes to its conclusion. In the book of Revelation, we have the only occurrence where it's brought from the Hebrew the word Alleluia. And there we have the picture of the praise of God as every tongue is confessing, every mouth glorifying God. It says, "After this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Alleluia! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." Notice God is praised in eternity for his justice. But it goes on, "Amen, Alleluia! Then I heard a voice from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like the sound of a great multitude, like the roar of rushing of many waters, and loud peals of thunder, shouting, Alleluia! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory." That sound, the loud sound of praise, is the fulfillment of this psalm as in the mighty heavens, the whole host, every living breath, calls out in praise to God. As the Apostle Paul said, "At the name of Jesus, who humbled himself and is now exalted, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory, to the praise of the Father." Right now, brothers and sisters, you know that Jesus lives. You know the surpassing acts of greatness, his mighty deeds. And you know God is absolute in mercy and justice, seen in his Son. And now, because his Son lives, you know you will praise him everywhere, in every way, and it will be everyone for all time. And so we conclude, as the book of Psalms conclude, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Jesus lives, abound in praise. Amen."